Whilst we're in this place of dwelling with the Lord and enjoying his company, I'm gonna hand over to Arthur in many ways, at least a recording of Arthur, and he's going to expand on the last of our going through the parables, and I'll let him explain more as he does that. So I'll hand over to him and to our technical team to put him on the screen here now.
Well, good afternoon, brothers and sisters. This is a bit weird. I'm going to be speaking today on the parable of the mustard seed. And as you know, Jesus used the parables to teach his audience, and those parables usually contained a riddle or a twist, in Hebrew called the mashal, and a learning point, the nimshal. Dan started this series back in January with the parable of the sower. And so perhaps it's fitting that we're finishing with a parable about seeds. The parable of the mustard seed is placed alongside the parable of the yeast, and both parables speak to us about the spread of the kingdom of God. Let's start by looking at Luke chapter 13 and verses 18 to 21. Then Jesus asked, "What is the kingdom of God like, and what shall I compare it to? It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air found lodging in its branches." So what Luke does is he focuses on what the mustard seed becomes. It becomes a tree. And in the Middle East, a mustard seed, it isn't a garden herb like it is here, but it's a plant, and it grows to become a tree. Typically, it's only about 7 or 8 feet tall, and it's common to see a cloud of birds in its branches because they love to eat the little black, tasty mustard seeds. So Jesus' listeners knew exactly what he was talking about when he compared the mustard seed to a tree. Matthew tells the same story as Luke, but he tells it with a different emphasis. In Matthew 13, verses 31 and 32, Jesus told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches." So Matthew emphasizes the smallness of the seed, which Luke doesn't mention. Matthew's point is that the greatest things can start from very small beginnings, just like the gospel started in a remote part of the Roman Empire. And Luke's version of the parable leads up to the birds of the air making nests in the branches of the tree. And that imagery is very significant for the listeners of Jesus, because in the Middle East, the symbol of a great empire was a mighty tree, and nations that found food and refuge and shelter within it were typified as birds nesting in the branches. So you can see this if you want to study this more in Ezekiel chapter 31, particularly verses 3 to 9, where the Assyrian Empire is compared to a mighty cedar tree. And I'll just read you out verse 4. "All the birds of the heavens made their nests in its boughs, and under its branches all the beasts of the field brought forth their young. In its shadow all great nations made their home." And this is a picture in many ways of the whole world responding to the good news. Men and women from every tribe and tongue, from every nation and language. And they come and they find the shelter and the protection of God in this tree that he's caused to grow again from this tiny seed. So what do we think this great tree symbolizes? Obviously you can't answer because you're listening to me from Sunday. What do you think Jesus is speaking about when he compares the kingdom of heaven to a tiny mustard seed and then to the greatest of all trees? Well, I think it's the Christian people. I think it's the church. I think it's renewal movements within the church, like the communities in the Sword of the Spirit. And this is where all the kingdoms of the world find refuge. This is where they are fed. This is where they have a home among God's people in the church. So let's think about the image of the church as the greatest of all trees. Well, we certainly are a tree with many branches, and unfortunately, many of these branches have been formed because of division, because of disagreement, because of disunity. So now we have three major denominations, 12 main denominational families, and over 33,000 individual denominations. So my question is, can Jesus make something good and even glorious come out of this, all these branches? Yes, of course, he can and he does. In January this year, during our week of prayer for Christian unity, we were reminded of some of the different streams, some of the different branches and traditions within the church, and how these have constantly renewed God's people and brought us back to the heart of the gospel. Whether it's John Wesley or Teresa of Calcutta or someone else, their charisms have blessed us and enriched us and deepened our devotional life. And so it is in microcosm in Antioch, our community. The covenant we live out together constantly brings us back to God's call on our lives, to renewal of our lives. At the community anniversary event that we normally have in September, and God willing, we'll have again this September, people make commitments to our life. And when they do that, we read our covenant again, and we declare our covenant with each other and with the Lord. And the phrase, his work, his Antioch, a community of the Sword of the Spirit, always has a profound spiritual impact on me, and I'm sure it does on others too. When we read those words, it fills me with spiritual joy and gratitude to be part of his work, this community. What a blessing it is to meet together with brothers and sisters from other streams and denominations. What a blessing it is to worship together. And even though we come from different church backgrounds and think different things, there's something beautiful here. This is the tree. This is the tree that is a tree of life for so many. And Antioch, I really believe, is a sign of hope to the church. It's a sign of hope in the age to come. And although we're very small and insignificant, in many ways like that mustard seed, it is a place where the nations can find refuge. So now let's look at the other interpretation of the parable. What Matthew spoke about is how something so small can become something great. Now, when you Google mustard seed and try and see how many references there are to it in scripture, you'll see that the only time mustard seeds are mentioned is by Jesus in the Gospels. In Matthew 17, verses 15 to 20, and in Luke 17:6, there's a story about the disciples who aren't able to heal a demon-possessed boy. And they ask Jesus why. And in response to their asking Jesus to increase their faith, Jesus said, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to that mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Now that's an interesting statement, to say the least. And I think all of us in this community have been in situations where we've cried out to the Lord because of our situation. Lord, increase my faith. But his disciples do exactly that, and yet Jesus rebukes them. They ask for more faith and Jesus rebukes them for the lack of faith. Well, why? Why did he do that? Well, one of the definitions of faith is belief in the person of Jesus Christ. Not just as a prophet, not just as a teacher, not just as a healer, but as the Son of God and as our Lord and Saviour. And to know the person of Jesus Christ means having a relationship with him. And that's what prayer is, as Eleanor reminded us about a couple of weeks ago. So this faith causes us to realise that we can approach everything. There's no difficulty that we can't approach on our own. But with us, there is God and all his power inside that tiny mustard seed of faith. That's true whether we're in the midst of a serious illness like cancer. That's true for the difficult times we've all been enduring for the past 12 months. That's true about our daily lives, about being able to love and forgive when we've been wronged or hurt. That mustard seed of faith growing. We all need more faith. We all need more faith for our life circumstances, whatever they are. And all of us probably have significant challenges to deal with right now, where we need that mustard seed of faith. Maybe we could just take a minute now and pause and reflect and ask the Lord what it is. What areas of our lives do we need to see that mustard seed of faith growing and changing how we perceive our life, our circumstances? So one final point. I said the mustard seed and the yeast were parallels to each other and they speak about the spread of the kingdom. Well, when it comes to evangelism, again, many of us think that our efforts are small, unimportant, and insignificant. Well, that's how the gospel starts. Small beginnings in the hearts of men and women who were receptive to the words of Jesus Christ. In the words of Robert Schuller, a Christian author, God needs men and women who with eyes of faith look not at the apple and count the seeds, but rather look at the seeds and count the apples. So to conclude, the parable of the mustard seed is a parable of the spread of the gospel. And there are three areas that I'd like us to reflect on and meditate on, perhaps as we study this in our own time. Firstly, for us to have a desire for a deeper faith in the person of Jesus Christ, and who he is. God the Son, who has planted seeds of the kingdom in your heart. Secondly, a desire for a greater love for God's people, whether they are of your tradition or not, whether they worship using Gregorian chant or in a Pentecostal house church. The Lord has a great work for us to do in the world. We are that tree with many branches. And finally, a desire for a stronger hope, to see lives changed, for us to use every opportunity to proclaim the gospel in what we say and what we do. That small seed you plant is the hope of heaven. So in all these areas, faith, hope and love. May the tiny mustard seed become a great tree of life through God's grace in our lives. Amen.
We just missed the very end of that. But thank you, Arthur. There's lots of food for thought there around the parable of the mustard seed and what that teaches us. So let's take a couple of minutes to respond to what Arthur has spoken about and expanded on. And let's offer our lives to have that deeper faith and that greater love and that stronger hope that Arthur was mentioning at the end there. Anthony and Julie will play a song for us. Either we can join in with or we can just listen to. But I think take the opportunity during this time to dwell on that this mustard seed is the hope of heaven. It also allows us to have a deeper faith, a greater love, and a stronger hope. And as we come into this week, this Holy Week, let's really pray that God enables that in us. Let's just take the moment.